B-Pod Studios.
Yes! Hello, my broken brigade! 'Tis your great leader, Broken Matt Hardy! And you are currently listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with two wonderful blokes, James Stewart and Mike Riley. Yes! Let's get into it and listen to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast!
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, I know the breaking news of the last few days is NXT getting a two-hour slot on USA going against AEW on TNN. But I do want to start with the return of Sasha Banks.
I'm sorry, TNN.
TNN. TNN.
I thought it was TNT.
TNN, of course, is the Nashville network.
Oh, I see what you did there.
TNT, of course, is Turner Broadcasting. My mistake. Tremendous.
I mean, listen, I had to call you up, and I'm like, wait a minute, is this 1999?
It's ECW on TNN first, and then it's the WWE is going to, oh my, what a, oh, that's tremendous.
It's all good. We can redo the start of the show if you want.
No, we're going to leave that in.
Okay, let's do it.
We're leaving it in. We're going to leave all of this in. Because, Mike, we're live to tape. I do absolutely zero editing on the podcast. That's a lie.
That's right.
I edit the bleep out of it. The return of Sasha Banks, which won't be on TNN, but it was on the USA Network. It was post-SummerSlam. I loved every bit of it. Natalia doesn't get enough credit for how well she sold this. Sasha Banks had violence in her motions, in her eyes on the return. Everything had purpose. Sasha was angry, and she took it out on an already injured Natty, which brought out Becky Lynch, who the weekend spent all of Toronto Media Day dumping on Sasha Banks. There are a number of clips that went around about Becky calling out Sasha Banks. So this had been something that was in the works for a little bit. And I just thought it was executed so well. The pacing of this of that segment, just the violence and the purpose in Sasha Banks' eyes. Right. What'd you think, Mike?
Yeah, no, we knew it was only a matter of time before she came back, and the Natalia did sell it. Obviously, the emotional, she had everyone there with the emotional 1 year anniversary of her father's passing, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And then, of course, you see Sasha come out, and it's like, okay, wait a second. Here she is to console her, be with her, be her friend and everything. But just in the back of my mind, there was like a 2% chance. I'm like, she's going to turn on her. It's only a matter of time. And it was great. Natty sold it. And again, to like you said, to Natty's credit, she has been in this position, I think, over the last couple of years to put over a prime star. She did it with Charlotte with one of her first successful runs as a champion. She's done it with Ronda Rousey, helping her out, being a tag team partner. And I think we agree that they probably would have feuded. But now she's helping out Sasha Banks right here to get her back in the mix. And it looks like all indications are it's going to be Sasha and Becky, here on out for a little bit. But I think Natty is that kind of talent that she's okay with the position she's in right now to help do what she can to elevate the main roster. But for Sasha Banks being the heel, this is a good thing. She's a great heel, I believe. And I think it's only going to really spice up bring in a four horsewoman thing that we had thought about for a while. Try to reinvent that a little here now with the move to SmackDown on Friday nights and maybe even implement Bayley in there somehow too at the Survivor Series or even at the Royal Rumble. It's probably going to happen, but to have Sasha as the bad guy, the heel, that's a good thing.
Well, and as it's scheduled right now for Clash of Champions, it's Becky versus Sasha, and it's Charlotte versus Bayley for the respective championships. The Sasha Banks return was the 14th most searched topic on Google.
Wow.
That night. So 14th. I wonder if they're going to put the title on Sasha and have Becky chase. Now, I wouldn't do that. I would have Becky keep the title until at least WrestleMania in Tampa.
Yeah.
But I think the next person to beat Becky Lynch should be Ronda Rousey.
When she comes back.
If she comes back.
Do you think that would be?
I would think WrestleMania in Tampa.
See, I would say the Royal Rumble.
See, Ronda should win the Rumble.
Yeah.
And then challenge Becky at Mania. Okay. Or they do this thing where Becky has annoyed Stephanie McMahon or somebody, and now she has to defend the championship in the Royal Rumble match. And Becky is the number one entrant, gets to the end. Here comes Ronda Rousey at 30. Ronda wins the title that way. Becky gets a rematch in Tampa, and then Becky beats Ronda in a one-on-one match clean, and away we go from there. And maybe they get another rematch at SummerSlam, or, you know, they can progress it wherever they need to. But that might be one way of getting to the destination of Becky versus Ronda for a rematch. But back to Banks, if you had asked me a few months ago, and I think we talked about this, I thought Banks was done after Mania. In fact, I said I would be shocked. And the reason why I felt that way is something I could probably tell now. Mm-hmm. I knew that Sasha had looked into legal representation to get out of her contract.
Right. This was.
And so knowing that piece of information and the fact that she's tried to get out of her contract before, I thought she was totally done.
Yeah.
But she met with Vince, she being Sasha, met with Vince, and they worked out a comeback plan. And I think we all thought it was going to be to attack Bayley. And what I liked about this was she went after Becky instead of what was always predictable, which was her going after Bayley. Now, longer term, Banks might go after Bayley, but I don't think so. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if we're looking at Charlotte beating Bayley, you know, whether it's Clash of Champions or the next one after that, and reclaiming the SmackDown Women's Championship. Well, I mean, I wouldn't put the Raw Women's Championship on Banks, but maybe it gives Becky someone to chase.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's a good little, you know, an actual, I think they gave that Lacey Evans push, you know, right away there for Becky. Where's she been? What's she doing now?
Main event with Dana Brooke.
Yeah, I know. And that's where she on the pay-per-views.
Doing the Liv Morgan's Live Your Life Challenge, which if you follow Liv Morgan on social media, which I do, she's a fabulous follow.
Mm-hmm.
In Toronto, the weekend of SummerSlam, she went up to Lacey Evans and did this Live Your Life Challenge and told Lacey Evans to jump in the water, and she did. And then had Lacey Evans sing in the middle of public in downtown Toronto. It was entertaining stuff.
So that's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool. And, you know, for Becky to go after Sasha here on out, I think, you know, again, like I said, that could be the beginning of the Four Horsewomen maybe united at some point, but then they all go after each other down the line too. It was talked about for WrestleMania this year potentially, so that could kind of reinvent some things there. But I think that for Becky and Sasha to go head-to-head and you know, have a chase, for Becky to be the challenger there to Sasha, I think that would be good. That would be good again because from what we saw going into WrestleMania, Becky chasing after the championship, that was some of the best stuff we've seen. And that obviously was the signature of her career so far, Becky Lynch. And I think that you could see something similar to that. I don't know if they're going to put it on Sasha right away. I see if she were to win, you're definitely going to have a rematch. Obviously, that sets up something for the Hell in the Cell the month after. But then to back to what you said, where Sasha could go after Bayley down the line. You know, a scenario Sasha and Bayley, I could totally see her screwing Bayley. Say like last four people in the Women's Royal Rumble, and then she eliminates her. That sets up a feud going into WrestleMania. So you have that in the back pocket there. But if you're going to have Sasha win next month at the Clash of the Champions, then yes, Becky will probably get her revenge 1 month after and win 1 month after, too, at the Hell in the Cell.
If you're going to do the four horsewomen against the four horsewomen, the fact that WWE announced that NXT is live every Wednesday night on USA Network at 8 p.m. starting soon, that's a good sign. That's a good exposure point because Shayna Baszler's been awesome in NXT.
Yep.
And while her partners, and you don't need to know their names yet because I can't remember them right now.
Yeah.
While their partners aren't necessarily at that point, they're getting there. So if you're going to do it at Survivor Series and make it a point of this is NXT plus Ronda versus Sasha, Becky, Bayley, and Charlotte. And you'll have two of those four as champions, and you'll have Shayna as probably still the NXT women's champion. Because at this point, nobody's beating Shayna, and nobody should beat Shayna.
No, no.
And she's that good. She deserves it.
She's awesome. Agreed. And she deserves that push. And yeah, I mean, if that would be the case, I'd be totally on board with that. And now the exposure here and the NXT. Is this going to be live? But NXT will be live, right?
It's live 2 hours.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Every Wednesday night.
From Orlando.
From Full Sail, the training facility, the college.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, that obviously sets up opportunity down the line if they have the success of TV ratings, maybe have a tour. But I don't know if they want to go that route there, kind of like with the Raw and SmackDown crew. You know, I just...
Well, Mike, actually, now that you say that, the tour idea.
Yeah.
What they should do is you tape some matches on the house shows. You bring the film crew anyway. So it will be like, if you remember, I think it was, which NWA show? One of the NWA shows, and I don't know if it was TBS. No, because they taped at Center Stage. Maybe it was one of the wrestling shows in the 80s.
Yep.
Would go house show to house show.
Yep.
They'd have the cameras rolling, and so you'd get Maple Leaf Gardens, you'd get Boston Garden, you'd get Madison Square Garden, you'd get three different venues for three different matches. Do that.
Right.
Do that. Do that for your weekly television taping.
So, yeah, and that was all regional, too, at the time. You know, Nesson had the Boston Garden, MSG Network with the Madison Square Garden one, the Spectrum in Philadelphia. You're right, yeah. I'd be okay with that, but again, we are in 2019, coming up here to 2020, where people want to know now what's going to happen. But, you know, as far as making the move to a Wednesday night for the NXT, it's great exposure for the brand of NXT, the unofficial AAA of the WWE, because, you know, you have to go to the network to watch it on Wednesday night. It's not saying that people don't, but you're on a network TV now where you're flipping around channels and you actually have people stopping to watch it right there. So that's a big step for NXT. And obviously it is in retaliation to the AEW Wednesday night show. I mean, if I had it my way, Jimmy, I would have NXT on a Thursday night show. I do that or a Tuesday night show. But the fact that they're going head to head with AEW here, can't let them have their moment in the sun. It's just how it is. We knew this is probably going to happen.
So, Mike, I felt that way a few weeks ago. I was really annoyed that I was going to have to pick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it.
Yeah?
I'm not picking a side on this war. I'm not. If it's good wrestling, I'll watch it. If it's a good show, I'll watch it. If it's bad, I won't watch it. Because what I've come to find out, Mike, I already watch pro wrestling on demand, with the exception of pay-per-views. And I think I've watched just about every pay-per-view in the last however many years live.
Yeah.
I DVR Raw, I DVR SmackDown, I watch NXT and New Japan on demand. I watch Ring of Honor on demand. And that's a lot, and I skim a lot, but I watch these week-to-week shows on demand when I get the time to. Sometimes we watch Raw live. Sometimes we watch SmackDown live.
Yeah.
But I think we generally are in an on-demand, and 25% of the population does the same thing with their wrestling programs.
Right.
At least the WWE stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm part of the 25%.
Well, and I'm with you, too. I'm not going to specifically pick one to...
So that's a long way of saying this doesn't affect me.
No, I hear you. I understand that. And I'm with you. I'm not going to hunker down and choose which one. I will flip around, and I will watch them both on demand as well. I do know that there are people out there that religiously watch NXT only. Or I'm sure there will be people that will watch AEW only. But to WWE's credit here, I think what they're doing is trying to garner a new audience. For those that don't have the network, flipping around channels, watching Wheel of Fortune after Entertainment Tonight or whatnot, or maybe flipping in between a hockey or basketball game in the fall, or Wednesday night there, nothing going on, you see wrestling, and then you stay in tune with that because other people do not have the network and they don't go right into it. So this is a chance for them to get that new audience right there. And to their credit, yes, they are going against competition. But to me as well, I will go to what I feel like watching at that particular moment, not going to go out of my way for one specific one. It's just, I want to see what the ratings are going to be. Like, this is going to be, you could have this really, it's going to be either really good or really bad for WWE. I'm telling you right now. It's going to be really good or really bad.
But to your point about the clicker person, because that's who WWE wants. They want the narrow person.
Yeah.
They've lost so many fans. Mm-hmm. And I think I was reading from Meltzer, and he was talking about how a high percentage of the AEW fan is a newer wrestling fan.
Yep.
And that there's very limited crossover as far as the ratings go for WWE to AEW.
Yep.
And I kind of feel like he's on their payroll, because that's information that Tony Khan would have.
Sure.
That, and Tony Khan's been a subscriber to Meltzer for 20 plus years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So people think that Meltzer's on the payroll, even though I've been told that people from AEW give Meltzer bad information. I won't mention Cody by name, but
well,
you know, no, I don't know that it's him, but you know, that's my dig at him, you know, which will be interesting because, you know, they're coming to Boston. AEW's coming to Boston, and hopefully my path will cross with him, because I'd like to have a conversation with young Mr. Rhodes.
The fourth executive in the chain of command, right?
Yes. Well, you'd have to think that he would be the fifth, because he'd put Brandy over first. So Brandy would be the fourth and he would be the fifth. But you never know with his ego. Maybe he doesn't.
That's a good spouse, sir. Good
there
spouse.
You go. Did I pop the room? Yeah. Yes, I did.
I like that. Now, the other thing, though, is with AEW and Cody Rhodes there in that scenario, you know, you have them feeding Meltzer. Meltzer, though, I think you're aware of that, too. At one point, he and Vince were having some phone calls over the years.
Oh, yeah, and I bet they still do. There's a huge part of me that, with as much as Bruce and Eric dump on Meltzer,
they talk.
They talk.
Yeah, of course.
And if they don't, Conrad does.
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah. You
know, Conrad's been a subscriber to the Wrestling Observer for years. Of course he's giving him information.
Right.
Actually, ironically enough, you know who used to... And this is the vibe that I get from listening to JR's podcast, is JR gave Meltzer most of his information. Jim Ross, Jim Cornette.
Yep. I could totally see that.
Those are Meltzer's moles.
Yep. And it works, whatever works for him. If you're able to break it and do what you can, then it works.
You know, and Jericho to a degree too, because Jericho has Meltzer on his podcast every once in a while. So there's relationships there.
They talk. People talk. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people talk. But the irony is that the USA Network has actually become the cable home of WWE, with Raw, NXT, The Miz's show, Steve Austin.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
New show, so... That's kind of where we're at with that. But
it's all there.
Congratulations to AEW. They have sold out every building that they've promoted so far, which is
incredible.
Awesome.
Yep. It's pretty amazing.
And they would have sold out Boston quicker than 57 minutes, but there were issues with Ticketmaster.
Yeah. And a lot of people were had a lot of issues with that and a lot of complaints, too, social media. Jimmy, you had an issue with that, too, right?
Yeah, I had a terrible issue, but I thankfully got in on the second batch. But... What I will tell you is that Ticketmaster does this thing where if they deem a premium seat, they will just isolate that seat and it will go from $90 to $900.
Wow.
So a bunch of people were complaining about there were no $900 tickets listed in the graphics that the AEW stars were tweeting out, putting on their social media, because... they didn't exist. That was a Ticketmaster thing. That was not an AEW thing.
Interesting.
So if you are, so AEW is technically a sellout, because to be a sellout, you only have to sell out like 93% of a building,
right?
Not including suites and club seats and this, that, and the other thing. But if I go on the website now, I can tell you that there are probably, there are. There are, that's a $900 seat, that's four, eight, there are about 8, 10 ringside seats available for $900 a pop.
Wow. That's...
And that is not AEW, that is a Ticketmaster thing.
Mm. Okay.
So.
And All Out's been sold out, that's sold out within a matter of minutes. And on Labor Day weekend in Chicago, we know that.
Yep.
The other, you know, like you said, the first two shows, Boston and Philadelphia, and then, or excuse me, Washington and then Boston, real fast. And yeah, I mean, there is, people are hungry for this. This is after the Double or Nothing pay-per-view, which then a couple in July, and now we're getting ready for All Out here just a week or so away. There is a serious interest here for the fan. And I really believe that, you know, the fans were frustrated with the WWE from what we saw and heard the night after WrestleMania. There was an AEW chant on that Monday Night Raw episode. So, you know, have a rallying cry right there, and that really helps things out for them, and they're utilizing that to their advantage. So good for AEW. I hope they have the momentum there, and I cannot wait for the competition for whatever there may be.
I think there's a lot of optimism, much like there is for the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And so far, they've delivered some really strong shows.
Yeah.
So let's hope that the next pay-per-view is a good one, which we'll talk about on our next episode.
Looking forward to it.
And then we'll recap it. And then we'll kind of roll from there, and we'll see where we're going. Because on paper, this looks like a really good show.
Yeah.
And they've done a good job of... after they announced the Cody match, they've done a good job of promoting the television and what else is coming up. So that's a good sign. That's a good thing.
Excellent. Yep. Bring it on.
One thing that has been brought back is the King of the Ring tournament.
Yeah.
And Elias just won under shady circumstances, which knocked Kevin Owens out of the tournament. So you've got Samoa Joe, Cedric Alexander, Andrade, and Elias all advancing in the tournament. I, for one, want to see Samoa Joe win because I'm a Joe guy. If you tell me that Ricochet wins, King Ricochet is his Twitter handle, I'm good with that. I would love that. I feel like this is Drew McIntyre's time to win. He fits all of the Vince McMahon criteria. He's got size. He's got ability. Undertaker wanted to put him over, and that, I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah.
You know what? It also, I was going to say, originally, I was going to say, I wouldn't shock me if Shane McMahon found his way into this tournament to try to win the thing, and then Kevin Owens interrupts it. But Shane McMahon just eliminated Kevin Owens.
Yep.
So that idea is out. Mike, well, who do you want to win the King of the Ring, and who do you think will win King of the Ring if the answers are different?
Yeah, no, I think I'd like to see – I'd really like to see Elias win this. I think he could use it. I mean, obviously, yeah, he is with Shane McMahon, but I think that would help put him up to that next level almost in a championship if he were to, you know, go for the titles. Does he need one? Not necessarily. He's so good on the microphone. He's kind of an act with the guitar and so forth, but I think – it would elevate him. I'd like to see that. I'd love to see Drew McIntyre. I think it's a now or never opportunity for him because they put him with Dolph last year. They did what they could, and now he's independent and so forth. He's got that size. I would be okay with that. But I think you're going to see Andrade win this King of the Ring. He's been a dark horse in this one. I would not be surprised for what they did with the Becky Lynch, Seth Rollins, real life relationship. They bring something out here with Andrade and Charlotte. And the reason I say that is you have Charlotte as the queen and Andrade as your King of the Ring. And sure, who better for a female to help put him over than Charlotte? Jimmy, you can get excited now. So
what happens to Zelina Vega?
Well, I'm not saying anything would not – okay, he could fire her, but I would not be surprised if you see a mixed tag match, the mixed tag tournament, Andrade and Charlotte together, Queen, King, right there. And Zelina Vega, she can get in the ring too, but I totally see potential mixed tag match for a tournament there when that does take place, Andrade and Charlotte. And then they work together as your Queen and the King, and then maybe Zelina Vega goes off on her own, becomes independent. That's the end of that right there. So that's why I think Andrade is going to win. I think he's going to have Charlotte by his side to help do what he can to put him over.
I don't see it, but I like the take from left field.
That's where I don't know. I'm looking at the whole thing here, and I'm like, okay, Ricochet, he had his little main event with AJ Styles, not main event, but a good match. Cesaro's been there before. He's been in the, you know, high matches status. Samoa Joe, I think he could use it. I'd love to see him win. Drew McIntyre, again, he needs this here. Cedric Alexander, yes, he could use it. And Sami Zayn, I'm looking at the whole thing from the start to finish. The Miz does not need it. Baron Corbin doesn't need it. Kevin Owens, obviously out now. Elias, yes, he could use it. Ali could use it. Buddy Murphy could use it. Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin, Apollo Crews, all those guys. But I think Andrade is the guy who's going to get that next elevation there and be the push. Him and Charlotte, they're going to be going together, King and Queen.
I disagree with you so much.
Well, I think it's going to happen, so I can't wait till it does.
Well, it'll be like your John Moxley pick. It'll choke in the end. Mike, what's your all-time favorite King of the Ring moment? Or tournament or pay-per-view? It's a general question. Give me your favorite King of the Ring,
you know,
X.
Yeah, I know you like the tournaments, Jimmy.
I love tournaments. I absolutely love tournaments. WrestleMania 4, the Survivor Series Deadly Game Tournament in 98.
That was good.
I love tournaments. Love them.
Okay, but why was 98 good? Why?
Because the WWE Championship was on the line for one.
Thank you. Just stop right there.
And
so there you go.
For two, the matchups were really good. It was really a good story that they told throughout the night. And some would argue it's Vince Russo's best writing ever.
It was good. I agree. The 98 Survivor Series is great. WrestleMania 4 with the championship as well, right?
I love that tournament. I'm like the only person in the world who loved the WrestleMania 4 tournament.
Well, I'm fine with the tournament if you're going to have something on the line. Who cares about the King of the Ring tournament here if you are not going to have any sort of incentive here? Now, Brock Lesnar, when he won in 2002, it was for a championship shot, which he did eventually get against The Rock at SummerSlam. But what I think here for my favorite King of the Ring moment, it's like, all right, whatever. Like, and they took the pay-per-view away, so they don't care about it that much. They're telling you right there, this is not that important. The fact they have to bring this back right now before football season. It's, you know, obviously to keep the ratings going and try to put someone over here to get them that next step, that next level. But overall, I think on the microphone, the most important one was Austin 316 when he wins against Jake the Snake Roberts for what they did there. Jake coming back from the alcohol abuse, the drugs and everything, you know, the Bible stuff. And then there you go. Austin 316 born King of the Ring 96. That was my personal favorite moment. And I really believe the most important King of the Ring moment as well. So 96, there was a pretty good storyline there too. We were talking about the matches before that. It was not a bad pay-per-view with Undertaker and Mankind were in there too. And I totally forgot Owen Hart did the commentary. But overall, from what we saw that night with Austin 316 at the end of the match against Jake the Snake Roberts, that was my favorite KOTR moment.
So it's interesting because until I pulled up the Wikipedia page, I had forgotten about the Brock Lesnar being guaranteed a championship match. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even remember that Mabel was guaranteed a championship match in 1995. I love the King of the Ring because it historically has been a springboard for someone. In the case of Bret Hart, the original one that was on pay-per-view, not the one that he won in Providence that wasn't on TV, the King of the Ring was kind of like a, sorry, no. We had to have you lose the title to Yoko and then to Hogan, but right. You win King of the Ring and then you'll get your match with Hogan or your rematch with Yoko and go from there. And then Owen winning in 94 was a springboard for
awesome.
Bret Hart for Owen to have the same resume as Bret Hart did. Won the King of the Ring, and it continued that story. Mabel being the King of the Ring winner was more to elevate him to challenge for Kevin Nash's Diesel's World Championship. Austin was accidental because Hunter was being punished, supposedly, even though some people dispute that. Which,
right.
No. No.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Which we figured out later in life, yes.
So Austin used it as a springboard. Triple H used it as a springboard. Yep. They tried to do it with Billy Gunn. Because he went right into a program with The Rock. But they had the right idea. Like, he checks all their boxes of good look, good promo, decent worker. He couldn't hang long term. Edge was a fabulous King of the Ring tournament winner. Kurt Angle, fabulous winner. Brock Lesnar, fabulous winner. They totally changed Booker T's character based on a King of the Ring win that was highly entertaining. You could argue he didn't need it because he was already a multiple time WCW champion, but it gave him a little bit more of a WWE character. You know, Ken Shamrock winning it. Ken Shamrock, you could say, would be somebody who should have went on to do better things. But I think that was because, as JR has documented on his podcast, they were worried he wasn't going to show up to shows, so they never live events, so they never really pushed him hard as a WWE champion because they couldn't rely on him.
Right.
So those are examples of like why I love the King of the Ring is because they can use that as a springboard for somebody. Samoa Joe doesn't need it, but I would love to see it. Drew McIntyre right now is a guy who needs it. King Ricochet, I feel like, needs it. Even though he had the program with Styles, he ended up losing the program with Styles.
Yeah.
Only for the club to lose the tag belt. So now like one of the three of them, for the only club that matters, which, by the way, is a dated reference as it is because the competition has moved on. They're now called the Elite, hence the name of the company, Vince.
Right.
All Elite Wrestling. It's not all Bullet Club Wrestling.
Yep.
So I love the tournament. Love it.
Okay.
Love it, love it, love it. Love
it's it. Just, I mean, for years, it was the unofficial Big Five, okay, because you had your WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, and then sure, let's throw something else in there, King of the Ring for June. And I think that, you know, when Bret Hart won it in 93, Dayton, Ohio is where he won, and then he was mauled, attacked by Jerry Lawler after that, put over that rival right there. Owen Hart winning in 94, like you said, that was really good. But it just like, I'm not, I don't know. I wasn't super invested in the tournament style. I think you need to have a stipulation on the line, which I thought was great with the Brock Lesnar scenario. And I forgot about that with Mabel too in 95. Who did he fight? Diesel? Must have been Diesel, right?
Diesel at the SummerSlam, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that have a stipulation there. The winner gets the choice of a championship match, or they get to fight for the title at Survivor Series, kind of like the Royal Rumble. You have it, the winner at WrestleMania. So the King of the Ring, I don't know, something like that. Or even, you know, make it for the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title, a shot at that.
You
put
just
that
want
one.
More stakes than the
yes,
prestige
give me a stipulation.
Of beating yes. 16 or 8 other wrestlers.
And I get it. I get it. They're going to have him walk around with the crown. Yeah, I'm the King of the Ring. I
Not
get
necessarily.
It. Well,
because remember, Steve Austin didn't do it. I think they gave Edge a Stanley Cup.
I don't remember.
Yo, did Brock Lesnar walk around with a crown and a scepter? I don't remember that.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, that's what they could do here. They're going to brag about it being the King of the Ring. Brock
Which
Lesnar
they should.
Didn't
that's
it.
A that's a cool thing, and people but dig it. People dig did Brock, the King of the Ring.
Did Brock Lesnar need to brag about it though, because he was that darn good to beat The Rock
at the time? Yes, because he was running up accomplishments.
But still, I think that. This is what it is. It's all about bragging rights. I would like a stipulation, but that's not going to happen.
I think that summer, when he was getting pushed to the moon, he beat up the Hardy Boys. He wins the King of the Ring. I think he won it over Van Damme, who was the Intercontinental Champion. I think he submitted Hulk Hogan in a bear hug, or he beat Hogan or something like that. I think he beat Ric Flair the night he was supposed to beat Steve Austin. And then he beats The Rock to win the WWE Championship at SummerSlam. Like, they pushed this guy to the moon real quick.
Then he won the Royal Rumble 6 months later.
In Boston.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, he got that push early and often there. And he's look where he is now, too. But I don't know. I'd like a stipulation. Not going to happen. I get why they do it. Not super invested in it. I'm okay with it. It brings back memories to my childhood. It's not losing sleep over it, but I'm not over the moon about it.
The best is the WWE only brought this back because the G1 was so successful, but that's an old another story,
of course,
in my opinion. Well, the G1 was awesome this year. You should seek out New Japan World and
bring it on.
Watch it. It's great.
And next it time, John Moxley will win next year.
I don't know about that.
See.
We'll see. Monday, there were rumors about Rey Mysterio retiring, and I don't know if I think they're more WWE trying to get people to watch to see if Rey was actually retiring, but it brought me to an interesting question. Mike, who are your top 5 cruiserweight/light heavyweight wrestlers of all time? And this is a general question, because you can define it any way that you want.
Sure, sure. I mean, it's all WCW guys for me. Traditional WCW. In fact, you know, flipping around watching Raw and Nitro over the years, whenever the cruiserweights were on there, I always made an attempt to watch that because it was an exciting match. The athleticism they perform there in the ring, it's really, really good and really appreciate it. So, number one cruiserweight all time for me, Rey Mysterio. He is one on the list. Then I had Eddie Guerrero right there, even though he was in the heavyweight. He did win a heavyweight title later in his career. And then, of course, Chris Jericho. Again, another heavyweight as well. Chris Benoit. I had to put him in there. He will always be a cruiserweight to me. And number 5, Dean Malenko. You know, I know he had later success as one of the Four Horsemen, but he will always be a cruiserweight to me. And sure, like I said, Jericho, Benoit, Guerrero, and even Rey Mysterio was world heavyweight champ at one point. They are all categorized as cruiserweights in my book, and really appreciate watching their in-ring style and performance over the years, too.
So I think Rey Mysterio Jr. is the greatest cruiserweight, light heavyweight of all time, at least in the generation of us watching wrestling, which is really the last, you know, 30-something years. Mm-hmm. I think what he's meant to the sport on a worldwide basis, when you say, name me a cruiserweight, probably most people will say Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
In the same way that if you say, name me a wrestler, it's Hulk Hogan, it's Steve Austin, it's The Rock, it's Ric Flair. It's those four, not necessarily in that order.
Yep.
So I give it to Rey Mysterio as being number one. As far as 2, 3, 4, and 5, I won't fight you on the Jericho, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan's of the world. You know, those are top wrestlers in the history of, you know, our generation.
Totally.
But keeping it to people who were specifically, I feel like, cruiserweight exclusives. Mm-hmm. I'm going Dynamite Kid number 2.
Good one.
Eddie Guerrero, I feel like, was more of a cruiserweight other than a short run where he beats Brock Lesnar and he loses to JBL. I felt like he was more in that division than he was the heavyweight division. And, of course, it's subjective because Jushin Thunder Liger is number 4 on my list, and X-Pac, 6, Sean Walkman is number 5 on my list.
X-Pac, huh?
And that's a guy who I put on that list because I feel like for a long period of time, he was kind of a gold standard is a wrong term to use. But he's a notable performer who was undersized and spent a lot of time in the light heavyweight cruiser division.
Right.
And there was this kind of the saying that you went through X-Pac to get to the next level of where you were going. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that is a strong position to be in. And some of his early work as the Lightning Kid in against Razor Ramon on Raw, he had a great match with Bret Hart. And you just go through his match card in WCW. Once he got there, Jericho, Malenko, Guerrero, Benoit, all those guys, and it's just it's good top notch stuff. I mean, him and Eddie Guerrero had an excellent ladder match at the sold out pay per view, I believe it was.
Yep.
And that's an instance where it was for the US title, not the cruiserweight title, but that's all good stuff, I think.
Yeah.
And that's why I put him as number 5 on the list. So number Mysterio, 5. Dynamite Kid, Eddie Guerrero, Liger, X-Pac, 6, Sean Walkman. With Dynamite Kid, did not watch his career live, but ended up when he was tag teams with when he was in the British Bulldog tag team, they did a wrestling classic tournament, and he had a fabulous match with Randy Savage.
Yep.
And I watched that thing on VHS at the it wasn't Blockbusters, it was whatever. And I'm like, wow, he's a great one-on-one competitor. So eventually later on when ECW started selling tapes and you figured out how to tape trade, Dynamite Kid and his New Japan work was on my tape trader list.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
You know, his matches in Calgary, the ladder matches, all that stuff. Now, of course, everything's available on demand, YouTube, whatever.
Right.
But Dynamite Kid was one of those workers who I sought out. There's a great match from SummerSlam 88, and it's a tag match. It's the Bulldogs and the Rougeaus. And it's a 20-minute time limit draw, but it is a fabulous, fabulous tag team match. And in my opinion, it's worth going out and watching if you have the 20 minutes. It's really good stuff.
I like it.
And so Dynamite Kid is number 2. I mean, if you want to put Brian and AJ and Jericho and those guys on the list, no problem. I mean,
so
Daniel Bryan might end up being a top 10 wrestler of all time. As is Jericho, as is AJ Styles, as far as overall wrestler.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Jericho thing as a top 10. And you know the thing I know you mentioned with the Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles being in there as a cruiserweights, do people really perceive them as cruiserweights?
I don't think so. I think AJ Styles is an X-Division wrestler, which at one point in TNN, not TNN, oh, bring TNN. It for a circle, full circle.
You love TNN.
I guess I do. I guess I was a big fan of the Nashville Network.
Must have bought stock in it.
I went bankrupt with that stock.
Yeah.
So AJ Styles is an X Division guy, but Samoa Joe was the X Division champion at one point in time. It was kind of an undefined thing, and then it later became a Money in the Bank cash-in. With Daniel Bryan, like Ring of Honor, he was their champion. Then in WWE, he was U.S. and Intercontinental and heavyweight. He never really hung around tell me who you think weighs more, Rey Mysterio or Daniel Bryan.
for cruiserweight Rey Mysterio, because when I think of,
but
you
it's
know,
closer than you think.
Well, it is a little bit. However, though, when you mention the word Daniel Bryan to me, and it will always be in my mind. Whenever anybody mentions the name Daniel Bryan, it's going to be him at WrestleMania 30. That's it, right there, holding up the two championship belts right there in the Superdome. That will always be him. And that was not a cruiserweight title. That was a world heavyweight title, both of them. So that is my signifying moment. And for AJ Styles, if people want to put him in there, great. Go ahead. All the power to you. But for him, he will always be in the world heavyweight title division for me. Jericho, I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass here. I remember him. I grew up with him as a cruiserweight. All his moves in the ring and in that same division there, sure, he was a heavyweight division later in his career and kind of signified that for many people, but he is a cruiserweight always in my mind. So I think it all varies by generation, kind of like with our King of the Ring chat before. Sure, maybe I should appreciate it a little more, but the younger generation that maybe have never heard of it before, they may not appreciate it as much as we appreciate it now, and obviously the cruiserweights too.
I bet you hated the Cruiserweight Classic when the WWE brought it back because you hate tournaments. You hate cruiserweights too.
I think the 205 was forced.
It might have been, but
I like it, but forced.
They have all this money now, so why not spend it and have everybody and hoard talent? Because, you know, John Moxley's getting over without you, so you got to prevent everybody else from getting over.
That's right.
That's what they do. Mike, any closing thought?
I'm looking forward to AEW next week for the pay-per-view All Out. Going to be good. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think that we will have – I don't think any of our picks are going to win the King of the Ring, Jimmy. I just don't. I think they're going to pull something out of left field last second to screw with us completely.
Probably right. I do want to close with this just quick thought.
Yeah.
WWE has a lot of good characters going right now and a lot of good – like Samoa Joe has been on a roll lately. Buddy Murphy is having excellent matches. He had a great one with Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. He had a great one last week with Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. So there are like these little, like when they did the King of the Ring tournament on Monday on Raw, they put the box interview in. And it's a quick little 30 to 60 second interview of the wrestler who's going to the ring, telling them why it's the King of the Ring is important.
Yep.
So there, while the shows aren't perfect, there are little details of the show progressing to being better. The bank stuff, which we let off the show with, Natty and her selling. Becky had a fabulous promo on Raw. So there are details to WWE programming, which is getting better. And right. I can't state this enough. I'm a fan of wrestling. I want wrestling to do well. I want to like everything that I watch. And when I sit here and I bury someone or something, I don't love doing that. But I understand that sometimes that's more interesting. And if I believe somebody should be buried, then, you know, here's the golden shovel for you.
Yeah, it's fair. And hopefully this is a step in the right direction. And I think we've said it for the past few months now. It's going to be very interesting here with the competition as it gets ready to take off. And the new chapter, too, for SmackDown on Friday. I mean, we saw that who's going to be on that first show, too. So they're really trying to go off as big as possible here and carry that momentum. So it's definitely a changing time in professional wrestling, but also at the same time, an exciting time.
And Charlotte stated clearly on SmackDown tonight that she is the face of SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And that's why they send her to do international media. And that's why Bayley has brought down the division, which, again, it's a small little thing, but there are people who believe it. And if they're going more reality based with things, which Eric Bischoff, who is supposedly the head of the brand, if he believes in that stuff and that's the direction, then it'll do well. But, right. You know, that's another example of something that they're doing well on WWE programming. So it's not all terrible. There are pockets of good. You just kind of have to find them a little bit.
Yep. And appreciate what you can.
Yes, sir. Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. And we'll preview AEW show next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.